rock of ages cleft for me. Let me hide myself in thee. Let the water and the blood from thy wounded side which flow be of sin the double cure. Save from wrath and make me pure. Not the labor of my hands could fulfill thy law's demands. Could my zeal no respite know? Could my tears forever flow? All for sin could not atone. Thou must save, and thou alone. Nothing on this fleeting breath. When mine eyes shall close in death, when I soar to worlds unknown, see thee on thy judgment throne. Rock of ages, cleft for me. Let me hide myself in thee.
That's fine. Y'all worship the Lord. Amen. Brother Mike's going to sing for us this morning. Amen. Y'all welcome Brother Mike to sing this morning. Y'all give him a hand.
Good morning, all. This song that I've picked to sing this morning means a lot to me. I hope I can make it through without breaking down. But we had a gentleman here a while back that preached a revival for us. His name was Jimmy Flanagan. I don't know if all of you know him, but fine gentleman. And I really feel honored for him to let me sing one of his songs that he wrote and sings himself. And I can't do justice like he can, but I'm going to try to bring it to you. Nail Scarred Hands. When I'm down, I'm praying to God in my life. Gives me peace in my heart each and every time. When I think everything is wrong, nothing's going right. He reaches down with his precious hands, softly touches my life. Jesus holds it all in his precious nails, God. Come and take me home, just as I am.
As I am.
He's my Lord, he's my Savior, and I owe it all to him. Jesus. His precious nails, God. In my life, I had my ups and downs. Oh, I thought I'd seen it all. But to Jesus, my little problem rugged cross and carried it up that hill. Then they hung him there and he died for me. Took away
sure Jimmy knows that you sing it better than he does, okay?
All right.
Bow him in prayer, will you? Father, after our songs, the two songs that we just sang, the one during the plate, and then this song, speaking strictly about what Jesus has done for us. Father, we're so thankful for those nail-scarred hands. And Father, one day I believe that everyone that has ever been born will have to look upon those hands,
yes, Lord.
Even those that have been saved and those that are lost. Just like you said in Philippians, every knee shall bow, every tongue shall confess that Jesus Christ is Lord.
Yes, Lord.
Father, thank you for sending your Son. And Jesus, thank you for giving your life and giving your all. And Holy Spirit, thank you for coming and being that other comforter that we feel and know that you're here this morning, because your word, the truth, is without error. And we thank you today that you are present. We invite you to take completely control of everything that I do, everything that I say today. I pray, God, that you would just anoint the message and the time together.
Yes, Lord.
Thanking you already for the worship.
Thank you, Lord.
And thank you for the decisions, God, that people need to make. Now, Father, those that are lost, we simply give them Jesus.
Yes.
And we ask, God, that they would see you, your Son, that died and was buried and rose again.
Lord.
And he's coming again. Then for all the Christians that are here, those that are right now asking you, what is it that I need in my life today? May we seek it, and as we knock, we will find.
Yes.
So, Father, thank you again.
Thank you.
For the message of the hour, and I look forward to what you're going to do at the Invitation. It's yours right now, in Jesus' name. Amen. Take your Bibles and stand with me and turn to 1 Corinthians chapter 16. 1 Corinthians chapter 16. A couple of weeks ago, we were finishing up the message on giving. Last week was Mother's Day. I want to pick back up on the message of giving. And before I do, I want to read these two verses, verse 1 and 2 in 1 Corinthians chapter 16. Then I want to give you an overview of what we had that Sunday morning prior to someone having to be attended to by our medical team, and also later on went to the hospital. And praise God that she is out and doing well, and we thank God for her and her family. She called me last night and said that please continue to pray for those grandchildren of hers, and that she was going to be able to try to be here and bring them later. So please pray for that, if you will. Now concerning the collection for the saints, as I have given order to the churches of Galatia, even so do ye. Now let's read this together. Upon the first day of the week, let every one of you lay by him in store, as God hath proffered him, that there be no gatherings when I come. You may be seated. The question here, when we look at the Bible, we have to go to God's word to talk about giving. Whenever I was preaching about 2 weeks ago concerning this, we looked at Matthew chapter 6. We looked at, today we're looking here. But as we looked at Matthew chapter 6, starting in verses 1 through 4 last time, here's what I gave you. The Lord expects, listen to this, and requires us to give. And then I asked a question. We need to ask ourselves, are you giving? The second thing that I brought to you then was the Lord wants us to give for the right reason. What is your reason for giving? Why do you give? What's the purpose of your giving? And then I ask you the question, are you giving for God's praise or for man's praise? The third thing I asked you that day and shared with you was the Lord Jesus wants us to practice benevolence giving, charitable giving. And then we asked the question, do you and I give amply enough to the church so that the church can be generous in its benevolence giving? Then the fourth thing last time when we had this message was this. The Lord Jesus reminds us that our giving is ultimately to all the seeing Heavenly Father. Everything that you and I give, God sees. There's not anything that's missed when it comes to God. But this morning, I want to pick up here on this particular topic again. Now, don't shut me off. I am not a preacher that stands up here and begs for money. I never have, never will. I believe this is God's work, amen? Amen. I believe this is God's church, amen? Amen? I believe we are the body of Christ, amen? And I believe God knows how to tell you what to give, amen? But sometimes people misinterpret what giving is. Why do we give? What's the purpose for our giving? Here in this passage of Scripture, the Bible is teaching us that Christian giving is an act of worship. It's an act of worship. Did you know when these men came down this morning and they walked down this aisle on Sunday mornings, Sunday nights, and they walked down with these plates? Sometimes people just look at this as a time to talk. Some people look at it as a time to mingle. Sometimes people look at it as, well, here we go again. I got to get some money out. Can I tell you, I'm going to ask you today to stop looking at the giving of the offering. Ho-hum. I'm asking you that when these plates are given, for us to look at it as an opportunity for us to worship. Because you and I are the ones that God has called at this moment in this service to worship Him. And guess what? Your giving is an act of worship. Did you see what he said? Did you see what the scripture taught us here in this passage of scripture? When he simply said to us in verse 2, upon the first day of the week, that's Sunday. That's not the Sabbath. That's Sunday. Y'all looking at me like, today is the first day of the week, amen?
Amen.
Some of y'all think Monday is. Monday ain't the first day of the week. Sunday's the first day of the week, amen?
Amen.
But he says upon that day, this day, that you and I, let everyone, notice that, everyone, lay aside. That's a regular, I'm talking about regularly. Now, some of you give once a month because that's how you get paid. Some of you give every week. That's how you get paid. Some of you give biweekly. Let me tell you something. Every Sunday morning, we should worship God in our giving. We should not look at it like, oh, well, I'm just giving this, I'm giving. No, we should look at it like, I'm worshiping God. I'm giving to God. You say, well, some people say, well, God don't need my money. No, but can I ask you this? See, when people say God doesn't need your money, he doesn't need your money, but I'll tell you what he does need. He needs your love.
Amen.
He needs you to give as he would have you to give. Sometimes in this area of giving, you can give abundantly or you can be inhibited to what you give. Sometimes it's your attitude, as we talked about last time. Sometimes giving is non-existent. And let me ask you this, if you can't give, then how can you worship? You say, well, I gave mine last week. That's still, you're still giving today because you gave it for the whole month. You still worship God in your giving, amen?
Yeah.
You thank God for what you have given. And then when I think about the next thing, the Bible teaches us that Christian giving should be done in light of Jesus' incarnation. What does that mean? I want you to think about what Jesus, the incarnate Christ, he came to this earth born of a baby, of the Virgin Mary. He was born of flesh and blood. Now we worship that on Christmas, right? I mean, everybody talks about Christmas being the time to worship. Can I share with you that giving should be looked at when we give as to what the incarnation really means? Let me explain. Jesus, he came and gave of himself. He became a man and he was a flesh and blood. He left everything in heaven, everything, and he came to this earth to be our Savior. And many Christians always want to argue about this 10%. Some people believe that in the New Testament that there should not be a 10% giving. Some people look at this, but Paul gives us something here in the scripture. Turn with me to 2 Corinthians chapter 8. 2 Corinthians chapter 8. When we're looking at what Jesus Christ did for us, and we're looking at what he gave. Did he give it all?
Yes.
Did he give it all?
Yes.
And so many times, I've never heard too many preachers preach about and talk about the fact of what Jesus really gave when it comes to giving on a sermon of giving. I'll tell you why. Because most preachers are scared to preach about tithing or giving. Because we're all always accused that it's only about the money. Can I tell you what it's all about? It's about the souls.
Amen.
The money is an asset to be able to use to reach people for Jesus. That's what it's for. Amen?
Amen.
Don't ever look at it like, well, the preacher lives in a nice house, and he drives a good car. He wears nice clothes. and he's always being paid. Can I tell you something? If you look at it that way, you're not worshiping and you're giving. Because let me tell you, when you look at Jesus and you look at what Christ did, as he gave everything for us, that's why I give. That's why you should give. That's why all of us should give. Look at verse number 9, chapter 8, 2 Corinthians. For we know that the grace of our Lord Jesus Christ, that through, though he was rich, yet for your sakes, my sake, he became poor, that ye through his poverty, say this with me, might be rich. See, you see here that Jesus was a self-giving individual. And I dare people to take and just say that we're not supposed to adhere to 10% or more. I'll tell you why. Jesus set the standard here. Jesus gave it all. Jesus is the one that gave everything for you and me. Did you know you don't own your money? Did you know you don't own your house? Do you know you don't own those cars? Do you know you and I don't own anything that still belongs to the Lord, or you would not have it today? Amen. There's not one thing that you and I have that God Almighty is not involved in. Amen. You know why? Because he gave us breath. Yes. He gave us life. And he gives us everything we have. Not one thing that you ever give or I ever give belongs to us. It belongs to him. Not one thing. You say, well, I bought it. You didn't buy it with your money. Matter of fact, it ain't your money anyway. And you ought to be good stewards of what you buy. Amen? Whatever you buy, you ought to be looking at it like, okay, God gave me this. I'm the steward over it. So I need to look at what I'm about to buy. Because guess what? Most people don't even think about giving when they're buying something, and they'll take whatever they're supposed to give to God and they'll go buy what they want and they'll leave God out. Oh, it's quiet. Let me tell you something. The old cliche of people talking about that you can't outgive God, let me tell you, that only scrapes the surface. You can't outgive him anyway, no matter what you try to do. Because nobody did for us what Jesus did for us. You know, we talk about grace. The law said 10%. We just read here that the Apostle Paul, when he was writing, he talks about the grace of God. Now, how can you and I compare the grace of God to the law? The law was the law. Jesus fulfilled the law. And so, therefore, when you and I look at giving, we should be inspired by what Christ gave. Christ gave it all, so what am I supposed to give? I'm supposed to give whatever is all to him that he tells you and me to give. When I look at this, how little of a percentage do you put on giving to God? Let me go back. How little of a percentage do you put on your giving to God? Some people don't even believe that you should give a tenth. The Bible says in Malachi, and that's where a lot of people get tripped up. They talk about the Old Testament and they say, well, that don't apply to us. I'm trying to show you that the New Testament says, for we know the grace of our Lord Jesus Christ, that though he was rich, yet for your sakes, my sake, he became poor, that ye through his poverty might be rich. See, Jesus didn't own anything down here. I love it when people start, I see the wood burning. You know what I mean? Tithing is a tough subject. Did you know that? It's a tough thing. But a lot of times people just don't realize that God gives it all, and all he's telling us to do is be faithful in our giving towards him. That brings me to this point. What else does the Bible teach us about giving? It teaches us that it should be done, now listen very carefully, it should be done in accordance with what my means is. Look at verse 12, 2 Corinthians 8, 12. Look at verse 12. For there, if there be first a willing mind, it is accepted. Okay? My mind, is my mind willing? According to a man hath and not according to that he hath not. Let me explain to you. You get paid. Say you make $200 this week. That $200 is what God gave you. Somebody else made $400. That's what God gave them. God does not expect you or anybody else to give any more than what he told you to give. $20, $40. Does that mean the man that made $200 gave more than the man that had $400? No. Did you know there is nothing else in the Word where you and I can be equal? Nowhere that we can be equal other than giving our tithe. And it's based on how God has blessed you. Think about that for a minute. There's some people that don't make but $120. There's some people make $1,000 a week, but they're still giving the same when it comes to God's giving. Amen. How is God, what is the means that God has given to you? And you say, well, I have a hard time with that because I've done went out and bought all this stuff and I've got all these bills. And now, preacher, you're telling me that I'm supposed to give. No, I'm telling you, God says to give. This ain't about me. This is about what God says. Amen? So he tells us in his word. Y'all just read it, right? Y'all can say amen.
Amen.
I mean, I'm not taking anything out of context. I'm not trying to persuade you of something because maybe you have a different opinion. I'm sharing with you that God says, since we are all to give proportionately, then we all have that right to worship him. And never can we say, I can't give. I've heard people say, and I, please, before I say this, I know what's going to go out of this building. Can I tell you, people pray sometimes for people to be able to give because they're poor. Can I tell you something? I don't care if you're poor or rich or whatever you are. You can give. It don't matter, according to the Word of God. Turn to 2 Corinthians chapter 9, verse 6. The Bible teaches us that giving liberally of God is a blessing, and it's connected to that. Look at verse 6, 2 Corinthians 9, 6. But this I say, which say, he which soweth sparingly shall reap also sparingly. And he which soweth bountifully shall reap also bountifully. Now that's pretty self-explanatory, isn't it? My relationship and my giving, I'm not supposed to just give to get, right? That's not what he's saying. He's not saying that I'm supposed to give to get, but he is saying this: as you give abundantly, God gives back abundantly.
Amen.
Example. I hear this story all the time. Preacher, I gave a certain amount of money, and I didn't have any money left after I gave that. And that next week, I got a check in the mail for exactly what that was that I gave. Anybody in here ever had that happen to them? Let me tell you something. That ought to prove to us what this scripture teaches us, that we should be able to give abundantly. Now the tithe, And let me just say this, I didn't say this a minute ago. The tithe is not to be given after you have all of your taxes taken out and all of this done. Your tithe is on your gross. That's what the tithe really is based on. Go back to the Old Testament and look at it. They gave of everything they had. Whatever it was, that's what they gave. Now, I know this is going right here over a bunch of people right now. I know that. But can I tell you something? If you cannot make it on 100, if you can't make it on 90% of God's blessings, you will never make it on the 100% that you kept.
Amen.
There's no way. There's no way. God says, I bless you. As you give, I will bless you. Now, if you sow sparingly, you shall reap what?
Sparingly.
Say that loudly. If you sow sparingly, you're going to reap how?
Sparingly.
Y'all know what that means, right?
Yep.
That means I ain't going to have no money in my pocket. That's what that means. Right?
Yes.
But if you sow bountifully, you shall reap how? Bountifully. What does that mean? It means that God will provide your need. Because listen, if God gives more, then we should give more. Right? I mean, does it make sense for us to hoard up anything? I'm asking a question. Let me tell you what I know I've seen through the years. I've seen mamas and daddies have worked all of their life for an inheritance to give to their children. And I've watched it over the years. God would give them their inheritance. And guess what they did? They squandered it completely. I tell people all the time, and I say this very, very, very humbly. If you want God to get something, you need to give it to him while you're alive. Because I can tell you right now, your children will not feel the way you feel about what you're giving. Amen? They won't. They won't. Because that's just the way life is, right? Life is busy. Bills are real, right?
Amen.
But let me tell you something. Giving is a privilege.
Amen.
It's a privilege to give. And I'm going to tell you, there is nothing that makes you, what I feel, more joyful than giving to God.
Amen.
Amen? I know I'm preaching to some of the choir here. I understand that. I know that. This church has been in existence for 172, 73 years. Since 1843, this church was over across the street, got burnt down. All this property and everything on this side, they started building in the 60s. 1956, I believe, is when that building burned down. This church has been here for 170-something years. How do you think it stayed here? By people like you giving to God, amen? Don't look at your giving and say it's not important, because everything that we give to God is important.
Amen.
Anybody that's ever bothered to look at our budget, let me tell you something. 12% of what this church takes in tithes and offerings goes back out to do the work of the Lord. So everything that you give, did you know that I talked to Brother Wayne this morning? And guess what? You're giving to that ministry. There was a young man that accepted Jesus as his Savior, and he got saved, and guess what he did? He led his little brother and his mama to the Lord, and they got saved, and guess what? We're all a part of that, amen? Because of your giving, amen? I talked to Brother Will this morning. Well, not just me, Rusty and Mike and Brother Chuck. We gather around the table. Y'all think we don't do nothing but just go over there and look pretty. We go over there and pray, and we talk to these people. We call them on Sunday morning because they're part of us, amen?
Amen?
and you're a part of them. And Brother Will, we woke him up. I didn't realize we was that far ahead of his time, but we woke him up. Of course, he was trying to get his mind together, but we know that what he was saying to us was that he thanked God for your giving. Amen. Amen. Because guess what? Those little children that they pick up on the bus, those little kids that they do Bible study with, those mamas that can go and work because they got a ministry, is because you help them to give. Hallelujah. By giving to them. Amen. Y'all give the Lord a praise for your giving. Amen. When I think about the other thing about giving, I want you to look at verse 7 in the same chapter. Verse 6 and 7. Now look at verse 7 with me. The Bible teaches here that Christian giving must be willing. Look at verse 7. Every man according as he purposed in his heart, so let him give. Not what? Or of what? Now everybody say this with me. For God loveth cheerful giver. That's why I say whenever they take up the offering, it should be a time of worship. We should be joyfully giving, and we should be looking at it as a time. Yes, I am cheerful. I am happy because I'm giving to my Lord and Savior. And guess what? We should rejoice in our giving, in every way of giving of yourself. Now, I know people say, well, I can give in other ways. Well, I believe you ought to give in other ways. I believe you ought to give of your time and your tithe and your talent. I believe all that. But can I tell you something? Your time can't take the place of the tithe. You can't swap it out. You know what I mean? You can't swap it out. It's not something that you and I have a right to swap out with.
That's right.
Because I don't own it. I don't own it. I don't own nothing. I don't own anything. I'm his, and he's mine.
Hallelujah.
And so therefore, we should give with a willing heart, with a willingness to give. Amen? So can I ask you, how is your giving? What is your giving? Is your giving to the church something that you do heartedly, or do you do it grudgingly? Let me tell you, if God's got to fight you to get it out of your wallet, if he's got to fight you to get it out of here, you may as well just forget it. Amen? Because you're giving it for the wrong reason. You're giving it for the wrong reason. Did you know this belongs to God?
Yep.
Don't ask me what's in here. It belongs to God too. Amen?
Yeah.
Right? Everything belongs to God. But I ask you to examine yourself. The last thing on giving, I know you're glad I'm finishing this message. The last thing the Bible says when he talks about a cheerful giver, Paul here is talking about a special delight in my heart, that I'm merry, I'm happy, I'm really excited about the fact that I'm giving to God. You know, we've got this group of people now, I don't know, Matt probably knows how to pull it up better than I do, but there's a group of people that they have a laughing service. Have you heard of it? Going around laughing. Let me tell you, that's not what this is saying right here. That's not what he's talking about. He's not talking about you. In Matthew, he told us not to show off, right? So that's not what he's talking about here. He's talking about in your heart, in your spirit, that you are joyfully giving for the right reason. Because you want to give. And why? Because of the incarnation.
Amen.
Of Jesus. He came, he died, he was buried, and he rose again.
Thank you.
And he's coming again.
Amen.
That's why we should give all that belongs to Jesus. I close with this thought. You and I today, as we reach across the world, in our Southern Baptist Convention, we have over 10,000 missionaries. We have over 5,000 missionaries that are overseas. And your giving and our giving helps them to go and reach the world. We have 5,000 missionaries in the States, over 5,000, inside the United States in Canada, that your giving provides for them so that they can go and share the gospel. So don't ever, from this day forward, think that when you give, it's not important, because it is. And what you give, the way you give it, needs to be the way God's word says for us to give. This morning, there's one other gift. Jesus gave us the gift of salvation. If you're here this morning and you have not ever bowed your heart, if you've never said to Jesus, "Forgive me of my sins. I believe that you died and was buried and rose again. I accept you as my Savior and Lord." If you've never done that, what are you waiting on? We got told this morning about another incident where people are doing things and not even thinking about what the future or what the repercussions of it is. I don't know what's going on with the little boy right now, but Brother Mike was telling us this morning that there was these kids on four-wheelers, no helmets, and all of a sudden this little boy hit a telephone pole. Now, we don't know the boy's name. We don't know what's happened to him even at this point. But can I say to you today, that incident has affected a lot of people. And nobody ever dreamed that was going to happen. It wasn't something they went out there and said, "Okay, I know this is going to happen, so I'm just going to go and be ready." No, it happened unexpectedly. Death is unexpectedly. And if you die without Jesus, there is no hope. And the only way to get around that is to receive Christ and believe and trust him as your Savior. But if you're saved today, are you giving with the right attitude and the right heart? And are you giving what God says to give? Because if you are, God will bless you abundantly. And if you're not, he will take and he will not bless you. You say, "Well, I'm being blessed." Can I tell you, you don't even know how much you are going to be blessed, because you have not obeyed God. Right. Until you obey God and see what God does, you will never know all that God can do by you and I being obedient. Amen? And can I tell you, don't ever say you can't give. You can. You can give. I promise you. God will bless your giving. Amen? Bow with us in prayer. Father, I know this was not a salvation message. It was not a message that even people really like to hear. But your word teaches us about giving. Father, you tell us not to beat on our chest and clang our money and show everything and say, "Here, look at me, what I'm doing." You tell us not to even let the left hand know what the right hand's doing. You tell us in your word that you said that on the first day of the week that we should come and give and worship because of how that you came and you gave it all for us. Father, in a moment, this altar will be open. And we call people to repentance. We call people to be able to come. "By grace are you saved through faith, and that not of yourself. It's a gift of God, lest any man should boast." And then we ask you, are you giving grudgingly? Are you giving cheerfully? Father, may we give today with open heart, open mind. And may we always remember, when that plate is passed or we ask for anything that's an offering above the tithe, may we give as you have prospered us, because we can never, ever outgive you. Thank you, Father, for your giving. And may we love as you have loved us. In Jesus' name we pray. Amen. Would you stand with us as they sing? The altar's open. The pews are open. and you need to come today. Has God spoken to you about your giving? Will you come right now? Maybe God's told you that you need to make it right with Him today.
I hear the sound.